Hello, friends, and welcome to The Daily Good. I'm Peter, and this is a podcast of upbeat news, thoughts, stories, and music from all around the world. This podcast is here to give your day a dose of the positive instead of the relentless onslaught of news and information that revolves around the negative. Good things are happening all the time, but it's usually harder to find than the rest of the news. So, this is a brief daily oasis where I'll collect and share some of the good stuff. I certainly understand that it's important to stay aware of the issues of the day, but that can get overwhelming sometimes, and I know that I could sure use some daily reminders of the good that's out there and the great things that are happening all the time, all over the world. So with that said, here's the daily good. And welcome to this episode of the Daily Good Podcast. I am so glad that you are here with me today. It's always a pleasure to be able to get together and talk about such fun and amazing things that are happening in our world every single day. And we are starting off the podcast today with some really good news from the natural world. And this good news comes from the state of Florida, where scientists have sort of rediscovered a very, very rare species of bee that they were beginning to fear had gone extinct. This kind of bee is called a blue calamintha bee, and it really lives up to its name. If you go online and find some images, the body of this bee is this absolutely amazing metallic navy blue, which I've just never seen anything like that before in my life, probably because it's ultra rare. It has been nearly a decade since this particular species of bee was seen in the wild in Florida, but now it has been rediscovered. It was first described in 2011, but so many years had passed that postdoctoral researcher Chase Kimmel said, quote, "I was open to the possibility that we may not find the bee at all. So that first moment when we spotted it in the field was really exciting." So it turns out that this bee only lives in a region of Florida called the Lake Wales Ridge region, which is a biodiversity hotspot in that area. When most of Florida was underwater many, many, many years ago, the higher elevation sand dune areas in this particular ridge of Florida acted sort of like islands and produced isolated habitat regions. And it was these regions that led to sort of pockets of highly specialized plants and animals. So not only do we have this extremely rare species of blue calamintha bee, but the flower that it is particularly associated with, which is called Ashes Calamint flower, is also highly regionalized into that same area. But this bee hadn't been observed since 2016, and now it has been recorded in three of its previously known locations and six more locations up to 50 miles away, which indicates very good things for the rehabilitation of this very rare species. And now we come to the good word, that part of the podcast where we share some beautiful poetry or we hear some inspirational quotes from some great people. And today we are doing just that. We have a quote from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it's always sort of an honor to be able to read and to share some of his thoughts and words with everyone. And his quote for today says, "We must accept finite disappointment, but we must never lose infinite hope." And of course, these are profound and important words. Our lives, yeah, they have their share of disappointments, but those disappointments are always finite. They are moments. They are things that we can look at and go, okay, didn't get that thing that I was hoping for. What's next? And that is the infinite hope aspect. Our lives will always have the finite disappointments, But if we can cling to that eternal sense of hope, that indefatigable optimism, then we can basically weather everything. When we think back to the calamities that have struck our world in the past, famines or plagues or economic depressions and recessions, we always are able to get through them. And it's always with that sense of optimism that we do so. So once again, we must accept finite disappointment, but we must never lose infinite hope. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And so we come to our second good news item for today, and this is some unequivocally good news. It's statistical, which might sound like a bit of a dry subject for some good news to be found, but these are statistics from the U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and they recently released their preliminary estimates for their data for highway crashes from 2019. So this is all from last year. And what their data shows is a continued decline in traffic fatalities. There have been declines in traffic deaths in 2017 and 2018, and now they are projecting the same sort of downward trend in 2019. This is particularly impressive because the overall road use has increased over those years. Now, the percentages that we're about to talk about may not seem like a lot, but you have to understand the scale that we're talking about, of course, of the number of drivers in the United States, and the fact that any downward percentage is good because for many, many years previously, these numbers were going upward. So you have to bear in mind the contrast. So driver fatalities down 3%, passenger fatalities down 4%, motorcyclist fatalities down 1%, pedestrian fatalities down 2%, and the fatalities for pedal cyclists has gone down 3%. So this is an overall decrease of 1.2% from 2018. So again, down and down and down these numbers go, and that is absolutely the direction that we want this to be going, of course. So there will be a link to the report itself in the show notes for this episode. Feel free to go and check it out, but let's just kind of keep track of the fact that this is, again, good news happening in our world, that if we just keep our ears and eyes open, we can learn about these things. And if you find this information helpful and hopeful, please help me spread it around and share this information, because it's so easy for us all to get bogged down with the rough stuff and the bad stuff. We need to hear more good news. And now we find ourselves at Wonderful World, which is the part of the podcast where typically I recommend webcams and live streams from all around the world so that we can all sort of tour our beautiful planet through the marvels of modern technology. Today, I'm going to sort of wander away from that particular way of experiencing the world, and I'm just going to give a personal recommendation. This will be the first of probably many over the course of future podcasts, where I'm just going to recommend a very particular place that I love, that I've had the great good fortune to visit in my travels around the world. So I'm going to lead off today with a particular bar. Now, I love a good cocktail. I believe in, you know, moderation in all things, including moderation, as Oscar Wilde once said. And when I travel around the world with my lovely Lauren, we try to find great little restaurants and cafes, particularly local spots that are beloved of the people of the area. And we really love good cocktails. And we've had the good fortune of having amazing drinks in some of the most amazing bars and cafes around the world. One of our favorites is Tiny. Like, picture a cafe that can seat maybe 12 or 15 people. And those 12 or 15 people would be basically shoulder to shoulder. This is a very small cafe in London, in the Soho area near Leicester Square, and it is called Bar Termini, T-E-R-M-I-N-I. If you ever find yourself in London and you find yourself in want of a very good gin cocktail, particularly a great Negroni, this is the place you want to go. Bar Termini is run entirely by Italians, and it is meant to evoke sort of a 1950s era Italian cafe, the sort of which never really existed. The bar owners themselves say that they created the place to sort of recreate the idealized Italian cafe from the 1950s. So it's very clean and it's very small, and all the wait staff are in crisp white shirts with aprons. And there's an espresso machine, and the drinks menu is not extensive. This is not the sort of bar that you want to go to if you are looking to order anything that your heart desires. They basically specialize in Negronis. And I must say, I was never a particular fan of a Negroni. If you're not familiar with what a Negroni cocktail is, it is basically gin and Campari, and that's it. And I'd never really cared for them because I think I'd never really had one made well with great ingredients. And the staff at Bar Termini absolutely knock them out of the park. So if you ever find yourself in London and it's late in the afternoon and you find yourself thinking, you know what, a really nice clean cocktail would go down really well right about now, make your way toward Leicester Square and then head down Old Compton Street until you find Bar Termini. Wander in, see if you can get a seat somewhere, and help yourself to one of the greatest Negronis you'll ever drink. And so we find ourselves at Sounds Good, the part of the podcast where I talk about music that I love, and hopefully you'll love too. And today's recommendation is a song by none other than Duke Ellington. It's always pretty easy to recommend music from Duke because the ground is so rich. He had so many songs that he wrote over the course of his decades and decades long career. In fact, the number that you usually hear thrown around is that Duke wrote over 3,000 pieces of music over the course of his life. But I also remember hearing an interview with his son, Mercer Ellington, who took over Duke's band when Duke passed away. Mercer heard the interviewer say that number, the often quoted 3,000 song number, and Mercer said, "Oh, no, 3,000 songs, that's just the songs that Dad wrote down and got published. He actually wrote way more music than that, and we've just got it up in trunks, up in the attic somewhere." So, good Lord. We're still sort of just scratching the surface of the man's genius. At any rate, the song that I'm recommending today is widely regarded as the first composition that Duke ever wrote. If you've watched the Ken Burns documentary, Jazz, there is an instance in that documentary where there's footage of Duke performing at the Whitney, and the interviewer asks him about this song called Soda Fountain Rag, the first song that he ever wrote when he was 14 or 15 years old. He wrote it when he got a job at a local soda fountain called the Poodle Dog Cafe, so it is sometimes also called Poodle Dog Rag. And in the clip, he starts to play it and he gets about halfway through a chorus and then he sort of stops playing and says it's too hard for him to play now. Possibly true, possibly not. But it's been a very, very difficult piece of music to track down for a long time because he never officially recorded it, particularly under that name. So what we have today is a recording that he did on the radio And when the announcer asks him what he's going to play, he casually just makes up a name on the spot and calls it Swing Session. And the name of the radio show that he was on was called Saturday Night Swing Club, so it was an easy name for him to come up with. But when he starts playing, lo and behold, it's actually Soda Fountain Rag, and it is the longest performance of him doing that that we know of. So that is what you will find a link to in the show notes at www.the-daily-good.com for today. It is Duke Ellington performing his first composition from when he was 14 or 15 years old, Soda Fountain Rag. Enjoy. That's it for the Daily Good today. There are links to everything we talked about in today's podcast on the website at www.the-daily-good.com. Our theme music, On the Sunny Side of the Street, was recorded by the incredible Jonathan Stout. Thanks for joining me. Come back tomorrow or anytime you need a boost.